apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnyMac Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.any-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@any-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, AnyMac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, AnyMac Home Mortgage, Lo-Fi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with R&J. I'm Steve Risser, along here with Justin Onofrio, and we are here. It is March Madness. Everything begins in earnest tomorrow. I know we had the play-in round last night. We'll get to the disgrace that Virginia was later in the show. We got two other play-in games tonight. You got two 16 seeds playing against each other, and then you got a Boise State against Colorado. But we got to start with the East region. We got to start with the region that UConn's in, the East region. And the big question is going into this tournament for the UConn Huskies, who went 31-3. They are the defending national champs. They just won the Big East on Saturday night. Justin was there. But the big question is going into this tournament is how big of a disappointment would it be if UConn did not win this region? And for me, I know a lot of people say it's a major disappointment. I think they have a great chance of winning this, going back to back. But a lot of people say it's a major disappointment. I'd say it'd be disappointing, but knowing what's going on in college basketball and knowing the fact that the last team to get to the second weekend was Duke in 2016, the last defending national champ was Duke in 2016 to get to the second weekend. I wouldn't say it would be as big of a disappointment as certain people think. I think it'd be a little bit of a disappointment, but it wouldn't be as big of a disappointment as people think.
Yeah, I'm with you. It would be disappointing, but yeah, it wouldn't be a major disappointment. It's so hard to go back to back because, you know, you got to win six straight game sevens pretty much. And they blew out everybody last year. It probably won't be as easy this year. Maybe it will be, but it probably won't. So yeah, it's so difficult to go back to back. And, you know, that great Florida team, that starting five were all NBA players, and they could have left after 06, but they all five of them came back and decided to play, you know, another season. So yeah, just so difficult to do, you know. So I get it. Like, yeah, they're playing in Boston, they got all that, but it just takes one bad shooting day where they go 3-for-23 from three, you know, to be eliminated. So that's the thing. It would be disappointing, but it wouldn't be a major one because it's just so difficult to go back to back.
And you brought up, you know, shooting for UConn, and that was the issue in the first half of the Big East final. And you said it, a bad shooting day could really, really hurt this team. And yeah, they're the best team in the country, but are they as dominant as the 06 or the 07 Gators? They're not. Are they as dominant? They're not even close to as dominant as the 92 Duke Blue Devils. So yes, it would be disappointing. I agree. It would be disappointing, but seeing what's happened in college basketball over the last decade, I would not be shocked if this team didn't get to the Final Four. Seeing the competition that is in this region, you got a bunch of conference champs. You got Illinois who won the Big Ten. You got Auburn who they potentially can meet up in the Sweet 16. They won the SEC. You got Iowa State who crushed Houston in the Big 12 championship. So this is a tough region for UConn. This is a tough region. It's going to be tough to get back to the Final Four because this region is tough. And then look at their second round matchup. There's a very good chance they can be matched up with Florida Atlantic, who went to the Final Four last year, and have two key players back from that Final Four team.
Yeah, I actually don't think they're region is as hard as I think everybody thinks it is. I thought it was when it came out Sunday night, but the more I looked at it, for me, because you're playing in Brooklyn and Boston, Auburn's not bringing, they're not bringing a big fan base. Iowa State's not either. Illinois can't guard anybody. And yeah, I know Auburn just won the ACC championship, but they have two quad one wins. Iowa State, they'll go through low scoring wise. Like, yeah, they just beat Houston by 30, but there's some recent DC bias with them right now. You know, and yeah, Florida Atlantic, defensively, they've really struggled this year. I would think this is a time where they really put it on and turn it on and get back there. Like, that would be a tough one. But for me, I'm not that concerned. Because, like, Auburn, too, you got to think about Auburn. They play in Spokane Friday, Sunday. So that means they're probably going to play late Sunday night. Then you're going to have to fly all the way to Boston for Thursday. Like, that's a quick turnaround. And we saw what happened when UConn had that turnaround from Spokane when they played Gonzaga, you know, to Seton Hall. I know it was a weird time with exams and Christmas break coming up, but, you know, so, like, I'm not too, like, I don't think they're a region as tough as I think, you know, it's being made out to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got a point there. You got a point with the Brooklyn. If the Brooklyn and Boston thing is going to really help. The Brooklyn, you know, they're going to have a ton of fans in Brooklyn. They're going to have a ton of fans in Boston. They're going to be the home team in pretty much, I know it's the NCAA tournament. They're going to be, it's going to be like them playing home games for the first two rounds of the tournament. So the Brooklyn and Boston thing is really, really going to help. But yeah, and you talk about the region. I disagree there. I just think the region is really, really tough. I think it's really tough. I think when you're playing a bunch of conference champions, that's tough. That's tough. It's good. This isn't going to be easy. These games are really the only easy game I think they're going to have in this is going to be that first round game against Stenson. But outside of that, I think they're in for some tough games. I really, really think UConn is in for some tough games in this region.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a couple of really challenging games coming up in that region. Because yeah, you know, San Diego State, Auburn, you know, really good defensive teams. Iowa State as well. You know, like BYU, a team that, like, they could really shoot the lights out of the basketball when they're on. Like, that could be a tough one if they're hitting everything. Like a Creighton team, you know, when UConn went out there to Omaha. But I think being in Boston, like, it's going to be at least, like, 90, 95% UConn. And, like, the conference championship stuff is, yeah. But I think as a whole, you look at everything and, you know, like, again, Iowa State, I don't – so since 1985, I think there's been 36 teams that started unranked that are one or two seed. None of them have gotten to the Final Four, and I think they only average about two wins a tournament. Iowa State qualifies for that. Marquette did last year. They got bounced the second round. Like, Iowa State, T.J. Osberger's done an amazing job, but I don't love that Iowa State team because I don't trust them offensively. Illinois, I don't think, can guard anybody. Like, they better be careful against Moorhead on Thursday. And then Auburn, San Diego State, yeah, two really good defensive teams. San Diego State hung around that national championship game last year. And Auburn, their inconsistency with their guards. They played a great game in the Battle for Atlantis a couple years ago. It was a triple OT game. But I get the Auburn love, but I don't – they're not great away from home. They're, you know, like, they kill everybody, you know, down in Auburn. But outside of that, I don't really trust them. So, yeah, there's going to be a couple of tough games, but I still feel like UConn should win the region.
Yeah, they should. But now let's get to the East region, and we'll start with the question with the East region. We'll start with who we think is the sleeper team in this region. So we'll start out with thinking who we'll start talking about who we think the sleeper team is. And for me, it's pretty obvious. It's Florida Atlantic. They got John L. Davis back. They got Vladimir Golden back. They're the number eight seed. I think this is the sleeper team. They got to the Final Four last year. I know they're going to have a brutal matchup in the second round against UConn. But if they somehow can pull that upset, as you said, you question this region outside of UConn. So if they can pull that upset, there's a very good chance they might be able to make another run to the Final Four. So for me, my sleeper team is FAU.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, everybody's darling, and was shocked to see them on the eight line. But yeah, that's a team they could turn it on. They're going to get going. I took BYU. I took them last week in the
Big 12. You love BYU. For some reason, you love BYU. I'm not that in love with BYU for some reason. I'm not in love with BYU. You for some reason love this BYU team.
Well, I love because they can shoot the lights out of the basketball, and they're tough to stop because...
Yeah, but what happened against Texas Tech last Thursday?
Yeah, it's a conference game. This is a conference game. You know, they may not, you know, they might have to see Iowa State, but we'll get to that later, which they might avoid them. But this BYU team, like, they, you know, they're second in the country. They shoot 50% of their shots from three. Like, if they're falling, they run really good sets. You know, they should be healthy. Ali Khalifa, I think, should be back. He's been practicing, it sounds like, so he should be back there. But Mark Pope, that BYU team, they're just, I think they're going to be a tough scout because they're going to have four shooters at least on the floor all the time. And they should be more like a five seed. And I think with the way kind of, I don't know, you know, because they play on Sundays, they couldn't, you know, fit them in another spot. And that Duquesne should be like a 13 seed. Like, they had VCU there and they're too lazy to fix it when Duquesne knocked off. When Duquesne knocked off VCU. So I really like this BYU team. I think they're tough to scout, you know, like they get Illinois in the second round. I think they're going to blitz them but Illinois, they're not disciplined enough to run BYU off the line or off the 3-point line. I don't love them. Brad Odermwood's never been to a second weekend. So I think that BYU team very well could end up in the Elite Eight.
All righty. So who is the double-digit seed that you think can make a run in this region?
I got the Drake Bulldogs. Tucker DeVries, you know, this guy's an NBA player. He can make tough shots. This is a team that even if they lost Indiana State in the Missouri Valley Championship game, it's a team that should still – they probably wouldn't have gotten it, but they still should have. This is a team, too. They're up 8 late in that game last year with Miami in the first round. They struggled to kind of finish down the stretch, but they have some couple really good guards in Overton and Wright who are really pesky defenders. Darnell Brody, too, a big Seton Hall transfer. He's not a great shot blocker, but he's just got the body. You know, can finish around the rim. And I think Drake could really go on a run. And they're playing their games, too, in Omaha. Like, it's an hour and a half away from Des Moines where they're at. So Washington State, the 7th seed, is going to have to pretty much play in a road game, you know, in the first round there. So I really like Drake, and I think just Tucker DeVries, this guy's a pro. He's going to make some really tough shots. I think they could knock off Iowa State in the second round. And, you know, I could even see them possibly knocking off BYU in the Sweet 16.
So for me, it's the same team. It's Drake playing Washington State, beat Indiana State, knock them out of the tournament to win the Missouri Valley Conference. So for me, it's Drake. And then it's the same thing when we talk about the biggest upset in the region. My biggest upset in this region, it's not a huge upset, but my biggest upset in this region is Drake over Washington State because of what they did to Indiana State in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game. Justin, what's your biggest upset?
It was a tough one for me, but I'm going to go with UAB knocking off San Diego State.
I could see it. You know, San Diego State's got an All-American on their team.
Yeah, they do. Jaden Ledee's an awesome player, and I think they're going to struggle guarding him. But I don't think San Diego State's guards are as good as last year. Like, you know, I really think they missed, like, a Matt Bradley this year. They don't really have great guys that could create. UAB was really talented coming in. They kind of, you know, got off to a slow start. But they're playing really well down the stretch here. Played well in the American Athletic, you know, in the tournament. You know, Eric Gaines, Daxel Wendenbach down low. I think they could kind of finish down low. Eric Gaines is a point guard, but and Yaxelberg, their forward, I think he finished down low. He might struggle with Ledee guarding him, but I think UAB could score enough points. I think they could slow down San Diego State enough. San Diego State should have lost to College of Charleston last year in the first round. And, you know, we kind of saw the run they were able to go on. I think UAB can do enough to knock off San Diego State in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because UAB won the American Conference. So I wouldn't be surprised if UAB did that. Now, what is your prediction? What's your final prediction of their East region? Mine is UConn over Illinois. UConn, obviously, because I think they're the best team in the country. And Illinois, I really like the way Illinois played in the Big Ten tournament, and Terrence Shannon is a top 10 player in the country. I think he should have been first team. I mean, yeah, because they picked four guards. I get why he wasn't first team All American, but out of those guys who were second team All American, I think he's the best guy. I think Terrence Shannon's had a great year for Illinois, And I think that I'm going Illinois. I got Illinois beating Iowa State in my Sweet Six, in the Sweet 16. So I, my Elite Eight, I got UConn and Illinois, and I got UConn getting to the Final Four for the second year in a row.
Yeah, me, I got UConn winning. I got them knocking off the 6 seed of BYU Cougars.
Of course you got BYU.
Yeah, I think BYU is better than Illinois. I just don't – Illinois – I know Illinois just won the Big Ten. I think it's always a quick turnaround for those Big Ten teams to get back, play well in the tournament. I don't trust Brad Underwood either. I just don't trust them defensively. I think BYU, they just got – they got a couple guys that could score the basketball. They have, like, 6 guys that over average over 9 points a game, like, a couple guys to beat you. And I feel like with Illinois, you got Hawkins, Shannon, and Domas, and that's kind of about it. And you can kind of keep a couple of those guys in check. Like, they need all those 43 from Shannon the other day to win that Big Ten title. So I think BYU knocks them off, but I think UConn does enough to slow down BYU and playing in Boston. UConn scores enough. BYU's decent defensive team, but I think UConn, Caravan, you know, Spencer, they do enough, and UConn goes back-to-back, going back to Final Four.
Yeah, I think so. I think UConn wins this region. Now, moving on to the South region, and the first question, this is a pretty easy question, is you got Duke as the 4 seed in this region. What are the chances of Duke winning this region? I don't think they're very good. I've just not been impressed with Duke all year long. Losing twice to North Carolina, losing in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. I know Filipowski's a really good one of the top players in college basketball, but outside of him, I don't think they're that good. I don't think Shire has proved he's not that great. I think Shire the first 2 years has proved he's not that great of a coach. I think they get to the Sweet 16, but I don't think their chances are really that good of making a run in this tournament. I think to the Sweet 16, that's how far they go.
Yeah, I don't think it's a great chance for them to win the region. You know, more than likely they play Houston in the Sweet 16. The way to beat Houston is to kind of shoot three. You know, you're going to have to hit shots against them, which I do worry about. If Duke can knock down enough jumpers that they can knock off Houston and move on. But I just think Houston's physicality is just, you know, it's going to be too much. Like, Roberts is, you know, he'll stuff Filipowski in a locker. Like, you know, even though Roberts is 6'8", I think Houston's physicality will just overwhelm Duke in that one. I think Houston, even though they're down like 3 guys that they kind of come off the bench, I still think Houston just would find a way to keep out Duke. So I wouldn't be surprised Duke getting the Sweet 16, but I think that's as far as they're going to get.
All righty. So who is the sleeper team you like in this region?
My sleeper team is another Big 12 team, Texas Tech. Down there, another 6 seed as well. I really like Papa Isaac. You know, I think he's somebody that can score the basketball. Joe Toussaint at the guard spot has had a really nice year. They're big Warren Washington, which he's been out since late February. I think he's going to come back if you know, he's their starting center. Like, if he comes back, I think Texas, you know, that's going to be huge for him. And I really like Grant McHouseland, their head coach. You know, the last couple of years at North Texas, they were like 360 in tempo, but this year they're like in the 180s. They're a team that could kind of, you know, that they could kind of play up, you know, they could score. If they get in a track meet, they can keep up with you. And also, you know, if you want to play a game in the 50s or 60s, they could also win that type of basketball game as well. I think Texas Tech can really go on a run there as a 6 seed and make some noise. Because in their region in this, you know, I don't trust Kentucky. I don't really trust Marquette either. I think that's a bracket that could, at that end of the bracket, could really, you know, blow up. And I think Texas Tech could come out, in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight in that section of it.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Texas Tech. I don't like the lack of 3-point shooting on that team, but my team, I got to move them first round to NC State. Now, my sleeper in this region is Florida. I really love their guard play. Really good guard play. Got a good big in Samuel. I played in a tough conference. Got to the conference championship game. Got to the SEC title game. I'm going Florida. Florida's my sleeper. I got them going to the Elite Eight. I got them in the Elite Eight. So Florida is my sleeper in this region.
Yeah, that's – I If they didn't lose their big the other day, their seven-footer, Mitch, I don't know if you saw that injury.
That was a really scary injury, yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. I kind of got off him after that. I don't, you know, because he's a guy that averages like seven rebounds a game. He's their leading rebounder. But Walter Clayton is, you know, they Will Richards, like they got some, they got guards that could score the basketball. I would not be surprised to see Florida. I really like Ty Golden too. So I wouldn't be shocked. I worry about them on the defensive end of the floor, but I would not be surprised either that team makes a run.
So what is your big upset in this? Who's your double digit seed you have making a run in this region?
So they have to win tonight, but I like Colorado if they get out of Dayton and beat Boise tonight. They got a couple NBA players, you know, Cody Williams. He was a five-star freshman this year. I love their point guard, KJ Simpson. You know, he's a senior, and you know, Eddie Lampkin down low is a physical force. Tristan Da Silva, their four, he kind of step out. He's like a 38% three-point shooter. I think Colorado, they're 24-10 on the year. They've battled a lot of injuries. Like they really haven't had their full team a lot this year, but it is a team that I could see going on a major run. You know, that could see him knocking off a Marquette. That Chaka hasn't got out of the first weekend since that VCU team when he went to Final Four in 11. You know, I could see him knocking off Kentucky in the Sweet 16. I know every national media member loves them, but I don't trust their defense. You know, they're too freshman reliant. I really like Colorado. If they can win tonight against Boise, which that would be a tough one because Boise does not belong in the play-in. They should be like an 8-9, you know. 8-9 seed. But I really like Colorado if they can win tonight. I just think they got a lot of talent and they're a scary team to face with all the talent when they're healthy. You know, they played it, they lost to a really good Oregon team that got healthy as well and well coached and Dane Altman. So I like the Colorado team and I think they're gonna be very tough out if they can win tonight.
Yeah, you see, I don't know if Colorado should have gotten in the tournament, but they got a lot of NBA talent. I'll give you that. Cody Williams is projected to be the second overall pick in the draft. My double digit seed is NC State. NC State played really, really well. Bob Balvano said after the game on Saturday, this is eerily similar to that run in 83. I don't know. It's not likely that that's going to happen, but I think NC State's a team that can make a run. DJ Burns is playing well. DJ Horn is playing really well. They won five games in five nights. I know the ACC was not that good at all this year, but they won five games in five nights. The last team to do that was UConn with Kemba Walker. So, for me, my double digit seed is NC State. I mean, I just think that I think the way they played in the ACC tournament, the teams they beat too, they beat Duke and North Carolina. That's pretty good. Duke and North Carolina, that's been one tournament. I know the ACC is not that good, but I think that's still pretty good. So my team who I think is going to make a run in this tournament, my double digit seed who I think is going to make a run is NC State.
Yeah, we'll see if they got the gas left to do it, and Kevin Keats suits actually saved his job with that tournament getting five games in 5 days. And he got a 2-year extension because of it. Like that was on his contract. So he'll be, and then I know you heard too, NC State, they got more wins out at the Capital One Arena than the Wizards do this year.
That's crazy.
The Wizards only have four. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. We'll see if they got the gas. I love DJ Burns, went up transfer. He's had a really nice year. You know, really good passer out of the post as well. So I would not be surprised either. I wonder if they got the gas left. But yeah, you know, team two, they were what, 75-75 against Louisville. That thing could have ended a lot differently and they survived. So yeah, they've been on a great run. We'll see if they can keep that momentum going. I would not be surprised if they could win another game or two in the tournament.
Alrighty, what is the upset that you have in this region? My upset is James Madison over Wisconsin. Wisconsin all year outside of AJ Store. I know they upset Purdue and they got to the Big Ten championship game, but outside of AJ Store, I feel like that team is not that good. And James Madison was first in their league, won over 30 games. So I'm going to go James Madison over Wisconsin. That's my upset.
Yeah, I'm with you there. James Madison, 31 team. I think they're really strong defensively. They got a pair of really good scorers in Terrence Edwards Jr. and Noah Friedel. And they got a BC transfer, TJ Bickerstaff, who's their big, and I think they're more athletic too than the Badgers. You know, AJ Stewart's made a huge difference for them, but you know, till this weekend, the Big Ten tournament, they weren't playing great. And James Madison wants to get to the rim, and Wisconsin's they're one of the worst teams in the country at guarding the rim. They're 350th in the country. So I think James Madison would be able to get what they want at the bucket. And, it, you know, James Madison kind of, you know, didn't, you know, they didn't play a great schedule. Like, they, it was 325 in the country this year. But I still think they're a really good basketball team. I think they're well coached. And I think they got a couple of really good players that could do enough. And I think they could knock out the Badgers on Friday night.
All right. So who do you have winning this region? This is a crazy region. This is a you said this. This is definitely a bracket. This bracket could be all over the place. This region could be all over the place. I don't like going with John Calipari, but I'm going to go Kentucky. I'm going with Kentucky. I like the way Reeves has played this year. I like Dillingham and Shepherd. I'm falling for it. I just don't trust Houston. That's the problem. I don't trust Houston. They don't have an inside game. Houston doesn't have an inside game. Houston's not built to win a championship in 2024. They're good defensively. They're questionable offensively. 41 points in the conference championship game. They lost by 28 to Iowa State. I'm not buying Houston. Let me tell you something. If Tyler Kolek was healthy, I'd definitely take Marquette. I would take Marquette, no question, to win this region if Tyler Kolek was healthy. I just don't know if Tyler Kolek's going to be healthy. That's why I'm telling you, Tyler Kolek was healthy, Marquette might have won the Big East. Let's be real, because UConn played terribly at the beginning of that game. So Marquette might have won the Big East again if Tyler Kolek was healthy. But I who else am I going to really pick? I think this is the weakest region out of the four. So I'm going to go with the Wild. I'm going to go with John Calipari to get to his first Final Four in 9 years. I'm going to go Kentucky here. I'm going to go Kentucky in this region.
Yeah, for me, this is definitely one of the tougher ones to go. And I think I'm going to fall for it and go with Marquette, thinking that Kolek is healthy enough and they knock off Houston there in the Elite Eight, and you know, Tyler Kolek does enough. They shoot the ball well enough. I didn't want, because it's, you know, too, because I hate kind of going with chalk, but we haven't had a 1-2 in the Elite Eight since 2019. Like, it's been a while.
Literally, wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, it's been a while, so, like, I don't usually like picking chalk, but in this one, I just, you know, thought about Texas Tech, but if Kolek's healthy, I think this is a year that Shaka finally gets over those demons. I think Marquette goes around. I think Kolek kind of really puts him on the back, and I think they do enough, and Cam Jones, David Joplin knock down shots, and Marquette gets goes back to the Final Four for the first time since 03 with Dwayne Wade.
D-Wade. I remember Kansas crushed him in the semifinal, but yeah, they beat Kentucky to get there. And then, they lost to Kansas with D-Wade. Yep. So yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in this region. Very interesting. The South region is very, very interesting. We'll see what happens in it. But now we will move on to the Midwest region. And before we get to Purdue, Kansas will have McCullough. Kevin McCullough is out for Kansas for the entire tournament. The big question here for Kansas is, is there any chance they can make a run without him? And I think I have them getting to the Sweet 16, but that's probably the ceiling they could get to. I wouldn't be surprised if they get upset to Stanford in the first round because of the loss of McCullough. Guy averaged over 20 points a game, so I wouldn't be surprised if they lost in the first round. But yeah, it's, to me, I think they get to the Sweet 16. That's because I like their matchup in the second round with whoever they play, but I don't think they get past the second round without McCullough.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be very tough. I'll get to Stanford kind of coming up here, but you know, it's gonna be tough. They don't have the depth. They don't have a ton of shooting. Hunter Dickinson, went out, the last game of the year against Houston with a shoulder separation. Like, I assume he's, I don't know what his health is at right now either. But yeah, like, McCullough didn't really look right the last, when even they tried to put him back in. I know he kind of, he put up, I think, 19 against CCU, but he still didn't seem right. But yeah, I think the best they're going to be able to do is get to a Sweet 16. It's going to be tough. I know they're a 4 seed, but this is definitely like Bill Self's kind of like worst team at Kansas. So for how crazy it is, and they're still a 4, but yeah, I think the ceiling for them is a Sweet 16. It's going to be tough for them to get past that, unless some just bonkers situation, happens waiting for them in that round.
Exactly. So the next question is, how much pressure is on Purdue to win this region? I think there's a ton of pressure. You got the best player in college basketball in Zach Edey. You've lost to two mid-majors. You lost 2 years ago. You could have gotten to the Elite Eight. You lost to St. Peter's. Last year, you were the second team in history. We'll talk about the other team we lost. Who was the number one seed that lost to a 16? You were the second team in the history of the tournament to lose to a 16 seed. I think there's a ton of pressure on Matt Painter to get to the tournament. And they're going to be playing games in Indianapolis and Michigan and Detroit. I think there's a lot of pressure on Matt Painter right now to make a run. I think if he doesn't win it this year, I don't think he's ever going to win it. He's got the best player in college basketball. If he doesn't win it this year, I don't think he ever wins it.
Yeah. And this region, too, like, look at the 2 and 3 seed. Those are two other teams that have not gotten it done. Rick Barnes at Tennessee and one of my favorite, and McDermott at Creighton, but, like, they haven't gotten over the top either. Like, it's kind of the choker region. You know, which one of the top three seeds could finally get over the hump and get to that Final Four? So, yeah, like you mentioned it, go back to 2021, where that 13 seed in North Texas beat them in that slog of a game. And, he's lost at every single seed, 1 through 16, look, their guards are older this year. Like, they're better three-point shooting team, but there's a ton of pressure. Like you mentioned it, they're in Indy. You got a TCU team that Jamie Dixon's another one that really hasn't gotten done the tournament. He had some really good teams at Pittsburgh that they couldn't get over the hump. And Utah State, I think they're since like 05. They've won like one game since 05, and they've been in the tourney. I think they're 1-11 since 05 in the tournament. Like Utah State's usually a pretty good team, and they haven't gotten it over. So for Purdue, yeah, there's a ton of pressure for them to get there this year. Look, in that Virginia team in 18, when they got over the they got over the Demons, but man, they got three games that were handed. The basketball glove guys really helped them out in those games, in three of them. Purdue's probably gonna need some of that luck again, like Virginia did, but there's a ton of pressure because you mentioned it. This is a team that hasn't been Final Four since 1980. They've had some good teams. It hasn't just been Matt Payne. They haven't been able to hop, and this is definitely the year they have to do it.
All righty. So who is the sleeper team in the Midwest region? Who is your sleeper team?
My sleeper team in this one is the Gonzaga Bulldogs. I think as we mentioned with the Kansas injuries, now with Purdue having the issues, and I thought Gonzaga played them pretty tough out in Maui, back in November. I think Gonzaga's starting to figure some things out down the stretch. They got to hit their threes. They don't have a ton of depth either. Mark Few hasn't lost the first round game since 08, they've been pretty good in the tournament. Nembhard's a pretty good guard. I think Gonzaga, the way they're playing, Graham EK is a beast down low. I think he'll be a tough matchup. And I think Gonzaga could really find themselves in the Elite Eight, this year.
My sleeper team in this region, I'm going to do what I did in the Big 12 tournament. I'm going to go with Texas. I like DeSue, and I like Max Asemus has got experience. I know it's been 3 years when he was with Oral Roberts, but he has experience to have success in the tournament. So my sleeper team is going to be Texas, to make a run in this tournament. Now, who is the double digit seed who you think is going to make a run in this tournament? And then this region.
I'm going with another Pac-12 team with the Oregon Ducks. Dane Altman, in 7 tournament appearances at Oregon, he's not lost in the first round, and he's made the second weekend in 6 of them. Dane Altman's done a phenomenal job. It's been another team that's kind of been banged up at times. They haven't had a full roster. Nafali Dante, they're big, went 12-for-12 in the conference championship game against Colorado. He's a beast down low. He's 7'2". Huge wingspan, gonna, make you think of a lot of tough shots. And their point guard, their freshman, Shadowstaff, I believe it's pronounced. He's in his role and just kind of handling the offense, he does a really good job of it. And Jeremy Casau is a South Carolina transfer, so he'll go up against his former team here in the first round as well. So I really like the way the Ducks are playing right now. I think they're going to be a tough out for teams. And I think South Carolina's had an awesome year. they kind of struggled down the stretch. You know, I think they're a little overrated. And I think a Creighton team they could very well beat a Creighton team in the second round, Dane Altman's former team. And Akron will not be easy either for Creighton. So I could see the Ducks very wind up again in the Sweet 16.
I'm going to go Oregon too. I just like the way they've been playing. I like the way they played in the Pac-12 tournament. Altman's got experience. So I like Oregon to be that double-digit seed as well to make a run in this region. Now, what is your upset in this? What is your biggest upset in this region? And I got McKean's beating Gonzaga. McNeese beating Gonzaga. I like that. They're a 30-win team in their conference. And I don't think Gonzaga's that good. I'm serious. I don't think Gonzaga's that good. They didn't win their conference. They lost True Timmy. I think this is one of the weaker Gonzaga teams. It was one of the weakest Gonzaga teams in a while. So I am going with I'm going with McNeese to beat Gonzaga.
You know it's Coach McNeese, right?
Who?
Will Wade.
Oh wow. Oh man. Yeah. The old LSU coach.
Yep. Yeah. So they're good. You know, they destroyed Michigan this year. I know Michigan wasn't great, but yeah, they're gonna be tough. They lost TCU by 10, but yeah, you know, Graham Ike gave me a tough matchup for him, but that's a team too. Shoddy Wells, that guy's a bucket getter. He might be the best guard in the floor, him or Nembhard in that game. So it wouldn't surprise me to see McNeese State knock him off Gonzaga. Mine, I am going Buckyball in the Samford Bulldogs. I do worry though, because Samford played Purdue opening night and they got they lost by 50. But Samford, they're playing in elevation this game. They want to play with tempo. They like the press. They're going to play man-to-man. They're going to play some 1-3-1 zone. Kansas gives up a lot of threes, and that's what Samford's going to shoot a lot of threes. Like, they're a fun team to watch. He's their five. He's 6'9", but he's a stretch four. He's averaging 15 and 8 boards a game. He's an awesome player to watch, but I worry against him defensively against Hunter Dickinson down low. But if they could stretch out Dickinson and, you know, get some easy layups at the bucket, I do worry, though, about Kansas' size with, like, KJ Adams and all that. And the pressure, like, they, you know, DeJuan Harris, Kansas' senior point guard, like, I don't think he's going to be bothered by the pressure. But I think with the injuries, too, like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Samford Bulldogs knock off Kansas. They're a fun team to watch. And Bucky McMillan, a former high school coach, really making a name for himself. And they're just Samford's a really fun team to watch, and they're very entertaining brand of basketball.
What is your prediction for the Elite Eight in this region? Mine, it's chalk. It's Purdue over Tennessee. You got the two best, probably arguably the two best players in the nation going at it. I'm going Purdue to finally get to a Final Four and beat Tennessee to get there.
For me in this one, I'm going Gonzaga. I'm going over Creighton.
Wow. So you got Gonzaga going to the Final Four? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this bracket's kind of – it's going to blow up in the top half. And Creighton, you know, I could totally see it. You kind of saw Creighton, the toughness, you know, when Nova kind of got it. Like, I think they'll struggle with a tough physical Gonzaga team at times. And I agree, Mackey does enough. I think Nembhard going up against Creighton, his former, you know, he just transferred from Creighton to Gonzaga this past year. So you asked me a week ago in this bracket, I probably would have gave you Tennessee, but the way they played Friday, I'm all out again. And unfortunately, because I loved all connect, but I can't trust them. So I'll take Gonzaga, you know, to get back to Final Four in a year. Nobody thought they'd be there.
All right, let's go to the West region. And the big question going to the West region is Caleb Love transferred from North Carolina to Arizona. The big question is what are the chances Love faces his former team in the Elite Eight? And I think I'm not going to give away what it is, my Elite Eight is, but I think they're really, really good, seeing that they're both the two top seeds.
I don't I'm not trying to give my prediction either, but I don't think we're going to see it. I think there's another bracket we'll get to where I think a lot of craziness is going to happen. And I don't think it's very likely we're going to see it, but yeah, it'd be very entertaining to watch. And I think that's what everybody's looking for, but I think it's a small, or, you know, like a 20-25% chance it happens. Like, I don't think it's great.
Wow. I think it's more like 45-50%. I think, or I don't even say over 50%. I think there's a really, really good chance it happens, but we'll get to more things in the West region now. And who is your sleeper team in the West region? Who is your sleeper team in this region? Mine, Death Taxes. Michigan State makes a run. So I got to go with Izzo here.
Yeah, it's a joke that they're a 90. They should be prepping at home for a 90 game. But man, what a
wow!
Tom Izzo gets a bump like usual. And he was crying this morning. I don't know. He was crying this morning about some of the mid-major teams that get automatic bids. It's like, dude, come on. You got lucky. You snuck in anyway. But for me, I'm staying in that half of the bracket. But I got the St. Mary Gales. We got another West Coast team here. I think they got the length. I think they're defensively. Alex Dukas, Aiden Mahoney, Mitchell Saxon, they're big. And then one of the top players, his last name starts with them. I cannot pronounce it, but you know, he was one of the best players in the West Coast Conference. They have scoring ability. They play really good defense. They got a tough matchup in the first round, Grand Canyon. I hate that the committee put those two together, Grand Canyon and St. Mary's, because those are two teams that make
a
run.
Grand Canyon even had a team. You like Grand Canyon?
Yeah, Bryce Drew. I'll spoiler. They're my kind of contradicting, but they are my team that could pull up the upset. But, but at St. Mary's, I really love this team, and I think it's a deep team. I think this is one of Randy Bennett's one of his better teams, and he's one of the most underrated coaches in college basketball. So I think he's got a terrific shot this year to make a run and get to the Final Four finally.
So who's your double digit seed that can make a run in this tournament? Mine is Nevada, because they play in a tough conference, the Mountain West. Six teams made it. I'll go with Nevada as my double digit seed.
Yeah, for me, I got the New Mexico Lobos. You know,
Richard Pitino's team. Richard.
Yeah. And you know who's on that team? Jamal Mashburn Jr.
Wow.
Jamal, kid that played for Richard's father, Rick, at Kentucky.
And got to a Final Four in 93. Should have got to a Final Four in 92 because they lost to the buzzer to Christian Laettner.
Yep. Yeah, so Mashburn, yeah. So they got his kid, and they got they got three really talented guards. Him, Jalen House, Eddie House's kid. So they got another NBA an NBA legend, Donovan Dent, their point guard, who was sick during the Mountain West tournament. And then they got some size down low with JT Toppin and Nelly Jr. Joseph, Iona transfer. They got size down low. They have some poor performances this year, but I think this team has so much talent. They're really good defensively. But they can be very dumb at times. Like, you know, they'll take bad shots. They'll kind of be selfish. But if they put it all together with their talent, I really like this team to go on a run. I don't trust Arizona. You know, I think they could knock off a Baylor. I think Clemson's a good team, but they're not great. Like, I think New Mexico can beat them. Like, New Mexico is a favorite in the game looking at the betting line. Like, New Mexico's not your typical 11 seed. I really love this Lobos team. And I think if they put all together this week, they're three guards. You want guards. Dent, Mashburn, and House are three guards that can create. And that's what you need in March in this tournament. And I think they have it.
So what is your biggest upset in this region? I don't really have that big of an upset. Mine is same thing. I got Michigan State winning as the 9 seed over the 8 seed. What's your upset in this region?
Mine, I did contradicting mine. I got Grand Canyon. Bryce Drew's the head coach of the Antelopes. Newer D1 team, I think six.
Are they
now,
are they from the Grand Canyon, Arizona?
Yeah, they're like Phoenix area, I believe. I don't know how close Phoenix, Grand Canyon are, but yeah. They got a great fan base. Like they're gonna have a great student section there. Like they, yeah. You know, they got a great following, but they got a kid in Tyson Grant Grant Foster. His guy's an NBA player. He started at JUCO, went to Kansas, went to DePaul. And in the first half, or at halftime, his first game at DePaul, suffered a heart attack. And they had to revive him. Like, it was DeMar Hamlin situation.
Wow.
And now he's back, goes to Grand Canyon, because one of the places that would actually let him play, that would clear him. If he has a couple good games, he's going to be a first-round pick in the draft. If not, you know, he's a late first round, second, early round guy. He's a 6'7" guard. He could really score, knock down shots. I really like this Grand Canyon team. They're 30-3, but I could see them knocking off St. Mary's, but they're a dangerous team. I hate that they put these two teams up against each other, because I would have loved these two teams to have go on a run. But Of course, the committee loves doing it like that because they don't want to see these two going up, you know, in other regions, kind of going on a run here.
Yeah, we will get to the committee. We'll definitely get to the committee in a couple of minutes. But for the Elite Eight in this region, do we get that Caleb Love matchup against UNC? I think we do. I think we get Caleb Love against UNC, and I'm going with Caleb Love. I'm going with Caleb Love's team. I got him beating RJ Davis. I got Arizona beating UNC and getting to the Final Four in this region.
I am going with a wild one here. We're going to get two West Coast teams in the Final Four. St. Mary's over New Mexico. That's crazy.
Your bracket.
This is my wild one.
Bracket for you. You got St. Mary's. You got two teams from Big East and WCC. You got West Coast Conference.
Yeah, I do.
All going at it. Wow.
Yeah, look at that. Four basketball only schools right there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, be great. I didn't even plan it out to be like that, but. Yeah, I think St. Mary's, I think they slow down New Mexico. St. Mary's like 358 in tempo. I think they're defensively, I think they play disciplined enough. And they beat New Mexico back in November at 14. I think Duke is Mahoney making up plays. And I think St. Mary's goes to the Final Four.
So we will do our Final Four. And in my Final Four, I got UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Purdue. And I got, in the first semifinal, I got UConn beating Arizona. And I got Purdue beating Kentucky. Who you got in your two semifinals?
In mine, I got UConn knocking off St. Mary's. My other one, I'd have Houston or no, sorry, Marquette knocking off Gonzaga. And then, yeah, I'd have UConn knocking off Marquette in the national championship game and winning for being Marquette for the fourth time.
Wow. So you have an all Big East final. You have UConn beating Marquette for the fourth time. So you have an all Big East final. I have the best player against the best team, and I'm going to take the best team to repeat as national champions. I got UConn beating Purdue in the national championship game. So I have Dan Hurley repeating Dan Hurley and UConn repeating as national champions out of the Big East. So, but speaking of the Big East, the big question of Selection Sunday was, did the Biggie how much did the Biggies get screwed on Selection Sunday? And I think they got totally screwed. Looking at that Virginia team last night, that's a disgrace that team was in the tournament over a St. John's team that averaged 90.5 points a game in the Big East tournament and won six in a row before they faced UConn. You're telling me that St. John's team isn't a better team than Virginia? And then even Seton Hall. Seton Hall went 13-7 in the league. They beat Marquette. And the two teams that played in the championship game, Marquette and UConn at home, and they beat UConn by 15 points at home. So you're telling me that's not a tournament team? There's no way that Virginia should be in the tournament, and I don't think Colorado should have been in the tournament. So the two teams that should have been in the tournament were St. John's and Seton Hall. The irony is, though, the coach that was most vocal coached a team that shouldn't have been in. I know Providence was close to being in, but Providence should not have been in the tournament because they went 10-10. In Big East play. I know their record was close to St. John's Seton Hall, but they went 10-10 in Big East play. So the Big East did get screwed. They only got three teams in, and they should have gotten five.
Yeah, they should have got a couple more. I think Seton Hall had the biggest gripe. I think they had a little bit more than St. John's did because St. John's had a horrible loss to Michigan. Seton Hall, like they beat Marquette, they beat UConn, and they should have beat Crane at home too, but a horrible call there in one of the overtimes and kind of caught or in the third overtime cost, and Crane was able to win that game, escape that game. Like they won 20 games, they won 13-7 in a really good Big East. And yeah, I warned you last week about Virginia being in over like an Indiana State as well there. Like it was a disgrace that Virginia got in over those teams. Like, you know, I just, the problem is with all this is like the net doesn't, I get like the net doesn't wholly matter, but why does it matter for Michigan State at 24 and it doesn't for like St. John's, which was at the time, like, I think it was in the 20, it was like 28, 29. And Indiana State had one that was 28 as well. Like, why doesn't that not matter for them, but it matters for Michigan State to get on the nine line? Like it you know, they just contradict themselves. Like they just, you know, like, and then they answer the questions and they look dumb because they give such bad answers. So it was actually horrible. And then too, like And see, there was five bid sealers. Like, for Virginia, they lost to NC State. They should have been out because they lost to one of the bid sealers, where St. John's, Seton Hall didn't lose a bid sealer in their conference tournament.
I mean, St. Like, John's lost to the best team in the country, and they gave them their best game in the Big East tournament. They lost to the best team in the country. They put up 90 points.
Yeah, yeah. And they weren't even the last four in. Like, I even
that was even more surprising. They weren't the last four in. That was even more surprising.
Yeah, that was because Pitt's non-conference schedule was 354 in the country.
How does Pitt get in over? How is Pitt ahead of them?
I couldn't. I have no idea. I really could not tell you because that's not a good. Well, yeah, because they weren't at Duke. That's why that one probably gets held in so much regard.
Of course, because it's Duke. Even though Duke isn't that good this year, it's Duke. That's why.
No, yeah, that's
even
probably why.
St. John's beat Creighton by double digits.
Yeah, but and they should have won at Creighton, but that was another bad call that cost them the game as well at Creighton. So, yeah, they could have had a sweep there against them, and yeah, it makes no sense. And the Big East kind of letter about it just doesn't even kind of say the three teams out loud, and then just then announces the Big East kind of extension with MSG. Like, that's a hard task for the conference to get the Big East tournament back in the Garden through like 32.
Yeah, it's been in the Garden for like 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah. The conference is messing up. And, you know, Greg Sankey, all these commissioners that want to expand, that are trying to get rid, you know, want to get rid of all these mid-majors, these conference basketball only teams. Like, Big East really needs to kind of step up their game and really try to defend themselves, but they just do a horrible job at it. And it's horrible. But yeah. Three teams in the top 15, and then nobody else gets in. It's horrible, and it's embarrassing, and yeah, it's such a bad look for the committee for the way that Virginia played last night. It's ridiculous that Virginia team was in the NCAA tournament. That team, I think there was eight games this year where they did not score more than 50 points, but they were. Did you see the dude with the sweatshirt, like the? Virginia basketball, Iowa football. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That he's correct.
Yeah. Anybody knew that was not a tournament team. That definitely, they could have lost to BC, almost lost to BC on Thursday too. So that was not a tournament team. And talking about the Big East. Yeah. Val Ackerman need to be more vocal about it. Three top 15 teams. They don't get anyone else. This is clearly a better conference than the ACC. It's clearly a better conference than the Pac-12. It's not better than the SEC or the Big 12, but it's arguably probably as good as the Big 10. So I just can't believe the person who showed the most outrage was the one who actually didn't belong in the tournament, and that was Kim English.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, I get with all those analytical numbers kind of, and look, you know, I think he does have a point somewhat. So the Big 12, all their conference teams this year, besides Kansas and BYU, Kansas had the 61st ranked non-conference schedule. BYU had the 101st. The other 12 teams of the Big 12 all had non-conference schedules ranked. Or actually, I'm sorry, it wasn't BYU. It was West Virginia that had the number 100 schedule. The other 12 had non-conference schedules ranked in the 300s or lower. So they blew out every single team by 40 or 50. And it does help your analytical numbers. It just does, for whatever reason. You know, and even Hurley kind of does it too with some of his quad fours. Like, this is why they don't schedule any 8-10 teams anymore. This is why they don't schedule, like, you know, this is like James Madison, Indiana State. Both those teams called multiple Power 5 schools to see if, you know, they try to get a game to help their resume. They all say no, because it does not, it's a lose-lose for them. So, again, like, yeah, I think we need to do something about it, but nothing's going to really change. So, you know, that's why UConn plays the Mississippi Valleys, the Stonehills, the New Hampshire's, the Manhattans, because they're quad fours, and you win by 40, it helps you out your analytical numbers. Look at Alabama. Like, Alabama net all year was like top five, top 10. That's not a top five, top 10 team in the country. It's just not. But because they blow everybody out and they're a very good analytical team, their numbers get boosted.
Yep. Absolutely. 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 So, Aaron Rodgers gets a new weapon in New York, and Blake Snell has finally found a home. But before we talk about that, we're going to hear from our friends at JPEG Financial and Shamrock Home Inspections.
Do you have a 401k and some savings for future retirement, but don't even know if it's enough to live off of? How much is enough? How often are you thinking about it? The team at JPEX Financial Group can help set your mind at ease. We specialize in creating strategies in the planning and managing of your financial, educational, and investment needs. We help clients pursue their investment goals with sound financial strategies. You deserve a personal, tailored plan. Lasting, meaningful, and open relationships are the foundation of our practice. You've worked hard for your money and should feel confident in your investment choices as you make decisions for your financial future. Your goals are our goals. We are dedicated to your needs and hopes for your future. Visit our website and give us a call at 860-430-5397. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. JPEX Financial Group, LLC is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. JPEX Financial Group is located at 78 Eastern Boulevard, Glastonbury, Connecticut.
There's no bigger investment than home ownership. And to make sure the house is up to your standards, you need a professional to look it over. Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections is a licensed home inspector and a member of the Connecticut Association of Home Inspectors. Brian was a contractor for over 15 years, so he knows how homes should be constructed and how mechanicals should work.
What makes me a good home inspector was the 20 years that I was a home improvement person, doing all the different repairs that I have done and what other people have done wrong that I had to go out and fix. So I have a pretty quick eye on seeing what's right and what's wrong. Before you move, call Shamrock Home Inspections.
Before you make the biggest investment of your life, call Brian Flanagan from Shamrock Home Inspections at 860-268-2566 or visit shamrockhomeinspectionct.com.
All righty, so yesterday the Jets signed Mike Williams to a one-year, $15 million deal. This definitely improves their receiving core, even though he's coming off an ACL. Last year, they're more likely the Jets are going to trade Alan Lazard now. So the big question for the Jets, though, with some of the moves they made this offseason, trading for Morgan Moses, signing Tyron Smith to a one-year deal, bringing Mike Williams in on a one-year deal. We all know they're going for it. All their eggs are in one basket. But the big question is, are the Jets a playoff team with all these moves, with Aaron Rodgers back? I just think there's just too much uncertainty in terms of these guys staying healthy, especially Tyron Smith. You got Aaron Rodgers going off the torn Achilles, Williams going off the torn ACL. And listen, I don't trust Robert Saleh as a head coach. There might not be a worse coach in the NFL than Robert Saleh right now. Robert Saleh, honestly, I don't think you can name a coach worse than Robert Saleh. Three straight losing seasons, and he still has his job because Aaron Rodgers wants him as the head coach. So I think this team will win, get more games than they lose. I think they're around a 9, maybe a 10-win team at best. But I still don't think they're better than the Bills or the Dolphins or the Bengals with Joe Burrow healthy or the Ravens most of the teams in the NFC or the Browns or the Chiefs. So I'm going to say no. I don't think even with the moves they made, I still don't think they're a playoff team going into this season.
No, I'm with you too. Yeah. There are too many injury concerns still. Like Mike Williams, he's been a guy that really hasn't been able to sit on the field much. Tyron Smith, same thing. Like he just hasn't been on the field much the last couple of years. I still worry about that off the line. They still need some fixing up to do. yeah. Rodgers going to be 41 come off, but it Achilles injury, like, you know, with that off in the line, you know, he's going to have to be running around like it is right now. And yeah, like I was, I agree. I don't think there's a worse coach out there than Robert Saleh right now. I'm trying to go through it in my head. I don't think there is one. So yeah, I still think in the AFC where it's an uphill battle, you have two playoff teams in the Bills and Dolphins already. Like you got the Chiefs still, you got the Texans, you know, the Jags going to be right there. And then the four teams in the AFC North. So I just think it'd be too much unless they really kind of upgrade things with some trades or they just have a really phenomenal draft and they fix a lot of holes. Yeah, I don't see this team being a playoff team right now.
Yeah, I just think Robert Saleh should have been fired last year. I think the Jets are going to regret that move because I think they got you talked about holes. I think they got a really good roster. I think they got a really good roster, but a lot of guys that have trouble staying on the field. So that's risky. And I just think they should have moved on from Robert Saleh last year. But we got to move on to we got to talk about some baseball. Finally, Blake Snell's finding a home. Now, luckily, he's not going to one of our arch rivals, the Houston Astros. He's going to the San Francisco Giants on a two-year, $62 million deal. And the big reason the Yankees and Astros didn't get him is they didn't want to go over $30 million. The Giants did. And the Giants had heck of an offseason. They signed, they got a couple bats. They got the kid from Japan. They got Matt Chapman. So the Giants have had a really, really good offseason. Bob Melvin is now their manager. And the big question for the Giants now, with the addition of Snell, you got him and Logan Webb, are the Giants a playoff team? And we know the Dodgers are clearly the best team in the division, but are the Giants a playoff team? And I'm going to say yes. I think they go to the playoffs. They won like 78 games last year, but I think they're improved. I think this is an 88 to 85 win team. I think this team gets into the playoffs. Their offense isn't great, but they did add some bats. They added Blake Snell in this rotation. I'm saying yes. I think the Giants are one of the playoff teams in the National League.
Yeah, I'm with you, you know, with I really like the rotation you mentioned. You know, I know Alex Cobb gonna probably hopefully be back sometime in April. Robbie Ray, he'll be they're hoping around like the second half of the year. So like he'll kind of be like a trade deadline acquisition pretty much. So you'll add a guy like that second half of the year, you know, him, Logan Webb, but or Snell and Logan Webb, the 1-2. You know, gonna be pretty good in a pitcher's ballpark. So yeah, they get a couple of the bats. The kid from Japan, Junghoo Lee, they got. I think he won, you know, the batting title like 3 or 4 times in Japan, or got most hits in the league. So, you know, I think he should come in and play pretty well. So yeah, they get a couple of those bats going. They got Matt Chapman as well. If you could have a rebound of a season, if they can get enough from their lineup, yeah, I think it's a Giant team that's gonna be, should be a wild card team.
Now, are they World Series contenders? And I'm going to say yes. I think this is the best chance the Giants have of winning. I know they were great three years ago when they had that season where they won 100 games. But this is the best chance the Giants have of winning a championship, I think, since 2016, after they lost the Cubs in the division in the first round. I think this Giants team with Bob Melvin is there. They got a really good manager in Bob Melvin. So I think this Giants team is, because you look at the Diamondbacks last year, not a lot of people thought the Diamondbacks were going to go to the World Series. They did. I wouldn't leave it out of the, saying that the Giants are a playoff team. I think in baseball, you got to say they're a World Series contender.
With their rotation, I think they really could be. I just worry about their lineup a little bit, like when it comes back to our baseball, can they get another bat or two, or like, can they get another kind of power bat in the middle of the lineup, I think would be huge. Lamont Wade's not bad. Dairo Estrada's, he had an okay year. Like the middle of the field, it's not great in the lineup, but Jorge Soler's gonna be a nice DH, but like other than that, Jungle Lee may be their leadoff guy. I think I need a little bit more from their lineup to kind of think it, but like I could see their pitching staff with, if Kyle comes back healthy, pitches well, same thing with Robbie Ray. I could see their pitching staff keeping a lot of games and they could steal them a series. Cause I don't think their bullpen isn't horrible as well with the Roger brothers and Luke Jackson. So their bullpen's not bad either. So I think they could hang around for a series or two. I just worry about that lineup. Can they produce enough runs?
Yeah. I definitely the lineup will be the biggest question mark for the Giants going into this season. But even though the official opening day is next Thursday, the baseball season did get underway this morning in South Korea, and we had the Dodgers going up against the Padres. And we'll start with the Dodgers. The big question with the Dodgers is, should they be the heavy favorite to win the National League? And I think they're the favorite with the team they have. But I'm not going to say heavy favorite because I still like the Atlanta Braves. I still really, really like the Atlanta Braves with their pitching, with their lineup, and with their bullpen. The Dodgers, the issue with the Dodgers is Shohei Ohtani's not going to pitch. You don't know when they're going to get Buehler and Kershaw back. So and the depth in the rotation, even though they got Yamamoto and Glasnow, is still a little bit questionable. So I'm going to say they are the favorite, but not the heavy favorite to win the National League.
Yeah, I'm with you. I worry about that pitching staff. So Buehler, I think they're hoping around May. Kershaw sounds like not until like July or August. And then Dustin May's not, he's supposed to be like, same thing like Robbie Ray, like second half of the year. So yeah, I worry about the depth of rotation right now for them. Like Yamamoto, can he come in, translate? And like Tyler Glasnow, yeah, he's good, but like, could he stay on the mound? He's always somebody that gets hurt. James Paxton, they have too. Same thing. He's a guy that's never, he's usually going to get banged up. They have an awesome lineup. But yeah, for this team, I do worry, postseason, they haven't, they've gotten eliminated the last couple of years in the divisional round. It just, so yeah, they got a great lineup, but I'm But I think the Braves are still a really good team, you know. And we see every year in baseball, you know, like last year in the Diamondbacks, you know, a couple years ago, the Phillies, like teams just come out of nowhere and they go on runs. So I don't think they're the heavy favorite, but this is definitely a year where they have to get to at least like an NLCS to like feel kind of good about themselves. They got to get over that divisional round.
Yeah, because the last 2 years they've lost two teams in the division, the Padres and the Diamondbacks. And speaking of the Padres, they were the team that faced the Dodgers and lost to the Dodgers today 5-2. And the big question for them is, are they going to get back to the playoffs? And I don't think so. I mean, I know that, you know, they could compete if Darvish has a better year, but he's 37. If Bogarts has a better year, Bogarts has always struggled to hit for power. So I think losing Snell, losing the NL Cy Young Award winner, losing Soto, the guy who led the team in RBIs last year, and then losing Josh Hader, those are three really big losses. And then losing Bob Melvin. I think this is a 75. I think they finish out of the Rockies. I think this is like a 75 to maybe 80 win team at best. I think that I even though they got Tatis and Machado, they don't have enough in the lineup. They don't have enough depth in the rotation, and the bullpen is questionable. I think the Padres, I think they're in for like a 75 win year. I got them missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I think for me, they're going to be contending for a wild card spot. They might, you know, they might be the first team out, or they might be the last team in that position. I like their rotation. Musgrave, don't see he's coming in. You know, Michael King, Yu Darvish, but yeah, you know, can the lineup do enough? Can Tatis stay on the field? He's been somebody that's, you know, kind of been on or off. And Jackson Merrill, I know one of their top prospects are very high on this year. He's going to be the starting center fielder. And, you know, Machado's kind of getting up there in age. So I think the Padres have a chance to kind of get in a fighting chance for the wild card, but I wouldn't be shocked if they find a way to make them get themselves in. I wouldn't be shocked if they fall short of that. I think it's a team that's going to finish right on the cusp.
We'll see what happens there. We'll be talking a ton of baseball next week as the official opening day is Thursday. So we'll be talking a ton of baseball next week. But that'll wrap it up this week on Sports Talk with RJ. For Justin D'Onofrio, I'm Steve Risser. We'll be back next week talking about the second weekend of March Madness and doing our MLB season preview. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Hello, my name is Joe McGuire. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All Four Downs, and Jawing About the G-Men. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meek, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Bird, The Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting ClovercrestMedia.com.